Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Spiritual Self-Examination by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
2 Corinthians 13 chapter. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. The interesting thing is, let's read the scripture and then I'll talk. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Okay? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Okay? Know ye not your own selves? He said, don't you know yourself? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Reprobates in this context, it means except you be people who just basically, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Okay? You're castaways. Examine yourself. You say, in other words, even before you go to a doctor, even before there's an x-ray, you many times are going to be the first person to realize, to recognize, and to feel perhaps that there's something wrong. Okay? There's something wrong. Now some of y'all gonna find this gross, but you know, if you don't put on deodorant and other people smell it, okay, you should have smelled it first. By the time we smelling it, it's too late. This has gone on far too long. You understand what I'm saying? Because we got some distance from you. You right up on yourself, okay? So you know, it's certain things that other people shouldn't have to discover. We should first discover ourselves. And the Bible says, examine yourself. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself whether the things you're doing lines up with being a Christian. Examine yourself whether the way you're acting is consistent with someone who's supposed to be walking in love. Examine yourself whether the things you're saying are things you should be saying, or the way you're behaving is the way that Christians ought to be behaving. He said, don't you know yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you? He said, if Jesus Christ is in you, and all the more we would say as New Testament believers, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you ought to be able to examine yourself. Amen. You ought to, we used to sing some of these songs years ago. Lord, while I'm down here praying, Lord, search my heart. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and what? And strengthen me, okay? We have to, some people just say cleanse me, okay? If you find, can I tell you, there's something God shouldn't have to find. There's something you need to find and you need to take it to the Lord. You know, it's like a real apology. A real apology is never about if. Okay, a real apology. If my son said, "Well, Dad, you know the way you said that to me was really harsh, and I thought that was just kind of over the top," and I said, "Well, I'm sorry if I offended you." Is that an apology? No. Okay, I need to take responsibility for what I said, and I said, you know, yeah, my tongue was over the top, or my words, I could have used better words, and so I apologize for that. That's an apology. A lot of times we come to God with this if stuff. Lord, if there's anything, if you find, no, you know exactly what it is, and you need to just repent. Don't put it off on him. Examine yourself. Know ye not yourself. Say, you should be the first person, because Jesus is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you, to recognize when you're off. Smell your own self. Matthew 7. So Jesus also encourages us to examine ourselves, but the word he uses here is to judge yourself. Matthew 7, starting verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. Does that sound like the same measure you meet shall be going to be measured back to you? Okay? Or do unto others as you would have them do to you. With the same judgment ye judge, the way you look at other people, the way they're going to look at you. Which is why some of y'all know I've come up with this concept. I call sometimes we just ought to sow a shut up seed. Sowing a shut up seed means I'm going to keep my mouth shut about this situation because I ain't going to put my mouth on that person or that situation because I don't know all about it. Because when other people don't know all about my situation, I prefer them to sow a shut up seed too and just be quiet if you don't know all the details rather than running your mouth. So if you sow a shut up seed, you can reap a shut up harvest. Okay, some of y'all have a problem just me saying shut up, all right? If you sow a silent seed, you can reap a silent harvest. Is that a little bit better for you? Okay. In other words, he said, don't do to other people what you don't want them done to you. I told y'all, for years and years, most of my life, well, not now most of my life, but for a greater part of my life, I was an employee. I was not an employer. And when I became an employer, I found out employees will lie. And so for years, I only looked at stuff from the perspective of an employee. I was like everybody else, these bad companies, those bad supervisors, those bad bosses. Everybody, you know, and yeah, man, they shouldn't have fired him. And then until I had some bad employees who had to be fired. And so now when I hear about people's job situations, I don't work for them. They don't work for me. I don't know what kind of employee they are. I just pray the will of the Lord be done, and I pray you recover. I ain't going to get in grief with you to run down your company because you didn't work for me. You work for them. You could be a real good choir member and a real bad employee. You could be a real good usher and a real bad employee. So there's some things I just sow shut up seed. It's because I know I can be on the other side of that thing and I want people to be quiet. That's what he's talking about here. When he says, with the same judgment you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. And with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. What you put out is what you're going to get back. A lot of y'all, sometimes we're asking these questions. Well, I don't know why this has happened to me. I don't know why people treat me like that. I don't know why they're talking about me like that. Go back and start evaluating what seeds you've sown. Because many times, y'all, we are merely reaping what we've sown. And sometimes it was a long time ago, but now the chickens have come home to roost. Y'all ain't like, you don't like that. I wasn't planning on saying that. I'm sorry, y'all. With what measure you meet is going to be measured to you again. And why beholdeth thou, here we go, why beholdeth thou the mote, other translation says the speck that's in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam, the log, that's in your own eye. Now, how are you going to see this little splint in my eye and you got a big old log? You can't even get through the door sticking out of your eye and some kind of way you see my splinter. You would even think that your log in your eye would even prevent you from seeing my splinter. And so he's using this extreme example here. Why beholdest thou the mote, the speck that's in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam, this log that's in your own eye? Or how would thou say to your brother, let me pull that speck, that splinter out of your eye, and behold, there's a beam in your own eye. He said, how you, this is good. How you even got time to worry about this? My thing, when you got that big thing. I remember one time I was, you know, some people can be brutal. And somebody came for somebody one time. And I knew this brother was a little uncouth. I knew his background. And somebody said something to him. And he said, I know you ain't saying nothing to me, but you looking like that. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. And everybody was like, ooh, okay. But that's what the scripture's saying. He said, how you got time to find fault with this little thing that this other person does when you constantly doing that big thing with that little area when you got this big area? Why behold thou the mote that's in your brother's eye, considering not the beams in your own eye? How you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote, the speck out of your eye? And behold, there's a beam in your own eye. Verse 5 says, you hypocrite. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. By the way, some people are saying we don't have to focus on what Jesus said. I think we still need to hear what Jesus said. Really, some people say you need to focus on more what Paul said than what Jesus said. No, I ain't going with that. I can't go for that. No can do. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. He said, now there may come a time when you need to help your brother out, when you need to help your brother or sister with the issue that they're dealing with. He said, but right now, this ain't the time. Y'all see that? He said, right now, you got some bigger issues yourself that you need to deal with before you worry about criticizing somebody else. You got some, I mean, there, you ever hear somebody say something and you realize, listen, let me just be quiet because I don't even want them to ask me about my situation. You know, people talking about, you know, man, they got, I mean, their credit is so bad. Their credit, you know, your credit really jacked up. You're like, let's just change this conversation. Can we just move on? Because I don't want to talk about my credit. So I'm just going to say, shut up, see. You know, may come a time where you can help your brother. It may come a time, the Bible says, ye which are spiritual. If a brother be overtaken with a fault, you who are spiritual, go to him and restore them. It may be time you need to go restore your brother. But right now, you got too much. You got to be restored from yourself. One of the things David says, I quote it often in his prayer of repentance, his prayer of repentance regarding Bathsheba, when Nathan the prophet brought his sin before him and he recognized it. Psalm 51, that we have created me clean heart, renew within me the right spirit. Okay, that's his prayer of repentance. But then he says, create in me a clean heart, renew in me right spirit. He says, then will I teach transgressors and sinners will be converted to you. He said, God needs to help me first before I can help them. But know what David said? They said, I'm going to sit myself down. I ain't going to even wait for the bishop to sit me down. I ain't going to wait for the ministry leader. I ain't going to have to go through no board. I ain't going to sit down with no elders. I'm going to sit myself down. And God, you're going to have to do a work in me. And then I'll teach other people. So what is self-examination? Just a natural definition here. First of all, self-examination is a reflective examination as of one's beliefs or motives. A reflective examination regarding one's beliefs or motives. That we also call that introspection. A lot of times we're familiar with inspection, looking at something and looking at something else. But this is introspection, looking inside yourself. Secondly, self-examination is examination of one's body, as in the context we were talking about, a woman examining her breast or brother examining his testiculars. Right? I know what they call y'all. Okay? Examining one's body, especially for evidence of disease. Okay? The other morning, I woke up. It was just the way I was sleeping. When I woke up in the morning, my wrist was hurting right here, and I felt a bump right there. And my first thoughts was, when I was about 13 or 14, my mother had a ganglion cyst. She had to have a ganglion cyst removed. And my first thoughts was, when I felt this bump, and I said, that seemed like it must be one of, maybe that's one of the ganglion cysts. Well, as I went on just moved my arm, it just went away, and I realized it was the way I was sleeping at night. Okay, I had my arm bent the whole time I was sleeping, and so it was hurting there, but it went away. But my first thing was to examine it. Let me feel what's going on here. Okay, self-examination for evidence of disease or sickness. So now there's a tool that helps us as human beings to examine ourselves. What's that, y'all? Call a mirror. So you need a mirror to thoroughly examine yourself, right? I shouldn't have to get to church for you to tell me I got boogers out my nose and crud in my eye. Pastor, you got a little crud in your eye, and you got a little snot coming down your nose there. Come on, am I right? I know I'm being a little gross here, y'all, but y'all getting the picture, ain't you? I got your attention. Okay? The first thing is to look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Okay? Now this is so good. The first thing is to look at yourself. Now, yourself can see what you're looking at. Now, secondly, you need a friend. Because your friend helps you see the blind spots. Because even though I can look down the front, I need a friend, somebody to help me see the back. You ever see some folks dress, it look like, Lord, they don't have a mirror nor a friend. Come on, you know you've seen some folks, you just feel sorry. You obviously, it's obvious, they don't have a mirror nor a friend. Because they jacked up coming and going. That was funny right there. Okay. That was funny right there. Okay. So let's start with this mirror. James, the first chapter, to help us examine ourselves. James 1, starting verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He said, now let me take, to give you the spiritual principle, let me use a natural example. He said, if you look at the word and don't do it, it's like a man who naturally looks at his face in a mirror. But verse 24 says, and he beholdeth himself, or he looks at himself, and goeth his way, and is straightway or immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the example I used, you look in the mirror, you see the quirt coming at your eyes, you see the slob coming down your face, and you say, oh, that ain't no big deal. Let's go on out of the house anyway. Okay. You see how ashy you are. Don't use no lotion. Okay. He said, you see it, but you act like you don't care. That's what it is, he says, for you to hear the word and don't respond to it. To hear the word and not do it. Verse 25, for whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this is talking about the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I want y'all to see this, y'all. This man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what James said. Because people are saying you don't have to do anything today. But that's not what James said. James said, if you see the word, understand the word, and do the word, you're going to be blessed. So that's one of the keys to being blessed right there. Is to just do what the word says. Can I tell you, I believe you can get a greater level and greater degree of blessing by understanding. But there's some things you don't have to understand. If you just do it, come on, that's half the battle right there. But I don't completely understand the tithe. Well, you'll get more understanding as you do it. I just don't understand how me walking in love is going to make things better. Just do it because the word says walk in love. I just don't understand why I can't retaliate. Well, the word says don't retaliate. Just do it. You'll understand it better by and by. Some things once we see it's in the word, we ought to make a change just because the word says it. And I often talk about this, y'all, because for some reason, I think we live in a day now that everyone is, now that we've got the revelation, the understanding that you won't go to hell for doing everything. And that really, the real reason why you go to hell is by rejecting Jesus. That's the number one reason why you go to hell. Okay. You don't go to hell for everything you do. You go to hell because the one thing you did, and that is rejecting Jesus. Now, everything else to help us down here and help you live a long life. Can I tell you, fornicating can shorten your life. Oh, sure it can. I told you, I was just an article last week reading the Wall Street Journal, and it was on the news too, about how this generation of millennials is having less sex but having higher and higher rates of STDs. Chlamydia is on the rise. Syphilis is on the rise. HIV is on the rise. And by the way, Columbia, South Carolina is still one of the top ones in the nation. I just want y'all to know, for all you trying to do the hookup. So, just doing the word. I don't understand what I'm telling you. But if you would just wait till you hold on. You can live a little longer. You don't have to understand it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's certain things. It's just built into the word. You're going to be blessed. There's benefit just by doing it. But my concern today is, y'all, we always looking for a way out. We look at the word, but what about? You know, my former pastor used to say something. I didn't understand when he used to say it. Pastor Carter in Tulsa used to say it. He said, the exception proves the rule. See, where we look at the exception, where we look at the exception. And we say, if you do this here, if you do this, it can mess you up financially. But what about? What about? I know somebody who did, and it. See, we're looking for the exception to say the rule don't apply. No, the rule means the majority of the time. The exception proves that is an exception, not the rule. Don't live in exceptions, live in the rule. The Bible says if we do what the word says, you're going to be blessed. Well, it starts here, verse 22. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. When the Bible said be a doer of the word, that's what it means. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. So you need a mirror, and the word of God is the first mirror to cause us to examine ourselves. So the first thing, and I'll start here and I'll continue. We'll continue. I guess I'll continue with the noonday, and Pastor Marshall will be doing evening for now. The first thing, you got to examine your heart. Because everything starts with the heart. Examine your heart. Everything starts with your heart. When we talk about your heart, you're talking about your inner being. We're talking about your motives. We're talking about your thoughts. We're talking about the underlying issues. Go to Matthew 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his what? So I don't care what you are. Now I'm not an agriculturist. I'm not a farmer. I didn't grow up around a whole lot of vegetation. I told y'all, I took Brother Sean by my childhood house, and I showed him. I said, see the area? I said, I want you to see so you can have a better reference when you hear me preach there about these things. I said, see that little area right there? That area about four, it was maybe about 4 feet. It went back maybe about 10 feet. You know, I call myself, I'm going to be old McDonald. I have me a farm, okay? And so I was about 16 years old. We moved to the house, and I planted everything. But I didn't know. And so, you know, there are some people who just look at leaves. And, oh, that's a pear tree. Some people, you know, they just know. Oh, that's an apple tree. Before you eat fruit. Now, me, I got to wait to see the fruit. I ain't going to know the apple tree until I see an apple. I'm not going to know it's a lemon until I see lemons. But I tell you this, once I see that fruit, I won't get it wrong. Now, I can judge the tree wrong. But the fruit is going to confirm. I could be premature with my judgment for the leaves and for that tree. But once I see the fruit, I know what it is. And that's what the Bible says. You can say this all day long, what you are, and you judging me, you know, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at heart. Well, no, the outward appearance, y'all, is the fruit. God knows the root, but all we see is the fruit. He says, a tree is going to be known by its fruit. Verse 34, oh, you generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the what? The heart, the innermost being, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He said, so sometimes, y'all, we got to examine, why am I like this?
A medical exam does a complete scan of your body. When was the last time you did a self-exam? In this reflective series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to look introspectively and examine any areas that may be causing a spiritual deficit in your life. Order today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for spiritual self-examination.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.